What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. First things first, let me get this fucking advertisement out of the way. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat and pledge $1 per episode. It would be so helpful. It helps us keep the lights on up in this bitch. It helps us pay rent. It's like buying a cup of coffee for me every month. I tell you guys that. Don't drink beer. Do drink coffee. Buy me one. Okay, enough of that. As I told you guys last episode, I have a new podcast. It's called You Feel Me, and it's sponsored by Skullcandy. It is presented by Skullcandy, and I have been working a lot on that. Just in the last week, I went from LA to San Francisco, back to LA, then to New York, then from New York straight back to San Francisco, back to LA in the span of 6 days. Let me tell you something. Airline miles popping. Alaska Air going to be a motherfucking MVP. Holler at your boy. But yeah, I just been very busy with that, and it's good. I always tell you guys, I'd rather be busy than bored. So part of the deal with them is that I'm also photographing the shows that I go to and photographing portraits of the artists. And so I'm getting like some cool extracurricular photography done as well, and it's nice. I'm getting to flex all of my creative muscles. I feel gratified. I feel satisfied. I feel good, you know? Things are really good. Oh, also, big news since the last time we spoke. Guess what, guys? I got engaged! Mia and I went to Australia. It was fantastic. It was fucking amazing. And, you know, she helped me plan her own engagement and she didn't even realize it. Like I told you guys, I had this whole ruse set up of a family photo and it went perfectly. We went out scouting the location the day before and she was with us and was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. You should shoot it there. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I wanted to make sure she had something nice to wear. And so I was like, here, you know, take my credit card, go buy yourself a dress. Sorry, I know that's not like very feminist of me to like be a male chauvinist and say, whatever, go get yourself a dress. Like, nah. I wanted to treat her, though, and my homie's girl works at a very nice company, and so she got a nice discount, got this beautiful dress to wear, and we were out on this bluff overlooking the ocean, and it was just gorgeous, and she didn't know it was coming. She thought, for some reason, that I was going to propose to her at this dinner we went to the next night, but nah. Right when the photos started clicking, I got down on a knee, and I told her, you know, Mia, I love you very much. I've never been with anybody like you, and I want to spend the rest of my life doing boring things in exciting places with you because, you know, we were in Australia, and our friends that we were with were very surprised that, like, we didn't really want to do nothing. But you got to understand, they live in fucking paradise. Their house, they bought basically the most fucked up house on the nicest block in this place called Suffolk Park, and they turned a house that they got for a reasonable deal into like a fucking mini mansion. It's beautiful. It's like a Pinterest page, you know, like everything is concrete and simple and, you know, graphically sound and whatever. The architecture is beautiful, and then their back porch has a pool and a fire pit and lounges. It was like staying in the nicest Airbnb you'd be able to find in any place. So, and they were literally a block from the beach. Like, I didn't have to put shoes on to walk to the beach. You just like walk around the corner and then you're at the beach. And when I talk about beaches in Australia, particularly on the Gold Coast where we were at, or just south of the Gold Coast, but on that eastern shore of Australia, like, it ain't like beaches in LA. It ain't like beaches in fucking New Jersey. Like, there's nothing. There's like probably, I don't know, 50 yards of sand, and then behind you is jungle. It's just like trees and stuff, and you look to your left or you look to your right, which would be north or south. You look north, you look south, and it's just miles of beach, or should I say kilometers of beach, both ways, just stretching forever, and it was beautiful. And, you know, they lived walking distance from a little bakery where we ate Australian pies, and which are not like American pies. They're savory, so they got meat in them and stuff. They're fucking fantastic. If you can find any Australian pie places in America, go have one. And so, yeah, you know, the homie Dylan and his lady Lisa, big shout-outs to them. They just had a new baby girl, and she was just absolutely adorable. And so it was just a lot of fun to be around friends and to not have any, like, responsibilities for 10 days. And man, yeah, it was a really good trip, and we came back engaged. And so, yeah, now comes the next step of, like, planning a wedding, which I didn't realize that as soon as you get engaged, everybody's like, when are you getting married? So when are you getting married then? Oh, you guys are engaged? When's the wedding? Like, man, I don't fucking know. We just got engaged last week. Like, chill out. Let us think for a second. But yeah, we are, now that everybody's been asking us, we're like, oh shit, yeah, I guess we gotta like plan that out. So we've been starting to think about that as well. Chances are you guys will not be invited, but you'll all be there in spirit with me in my heart. Yeah, I have a funny story about the flight over. I don't know if any of you guys have flown internationally. I've only done it about 3 or 4 times in my whole life, but these long flights, like the flight from LA to Brisbane is 13 hours. It's a long flight. And I bought my ticket with airline miles because, you know, I'm out here gathering those airline miles and I use them when I got them. So I got my ticket for free with airline miles through Qantas, and then Mia, we had to buy hers because we didn't have enough airline miles for both of them. So the only way I could purchase the airline miles is I had to get a premium economy seat, right? And so, and then she was in economy. So the flight there, we weren't able to sit next to each other, which I didn't think was going to be that big of a deal. It's like, whatever, you know. And, you know, premium economy, I also thought, like, oh, how different can it be, premium economy from regular economy? Can't be that big of a difference. It's not business class, it's not first class, just economy. So I'll probably be, like, towards the front of the plane, right? So I get to my seat, and it's, like, actually mad luxurious. I'm, like, right in the front row of the premium economy section, and there's, like, the chair folds out and has a footrest at the bottom, and there's, like, a screen that pops out of the arm and all this, and the flight attendant is instantly like, oh, do you want like champagne or orange juice or anything? And I'm like, oh shit, this is like low-key like first class. And then I was in row 36, Mia was way back in 71, and I'm like, damn, you know, poor her. But she ended up in a row with an empty seat, right? It was just her and one other seat and then nothing else. It was just two seats, right? And I am kind of in a middle, I'm in a middle seat of four. So I'm sitting there, and instantly I notice I'm next to this big, like, a burly dude, a big boy, a corn-fed motherfucker. And he did not smell good. And I know this sounds like a cliche thing, but, like, nah, this guy, I was instantly getting whiffs of BO, right? And it was all bad. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm texting Mia. I'm like, you know, oh, I'm sitting next to this guy and he smells bad. She's like, oh, you should come back here. I have an empty seat. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to stay up here. It's good. Like, use that empty seat to sleep. And then I'm sitting next to this Irish lady on the other side, and she's just a sweet thing and is being very polite. And then this flight attendant comes up to her and is like, oh, would you like an orange juice or a champagne? And she goes, yeah, I'll have a champagne and an orange juice, please. And then as she's saying that, a lady bumps into the flight attendant, and I see this horror in the flight attendant's eyes that I'll never forget as she fucking drops a whole tray all over the Irish lady sitting next to me and me, like a little bit on me, not that much. The other lady got fucking soaked. Her whole shirt and pants were all soaked to the point where they had to give her some like first class pajamas to change into and like cover her seat in like two layers of blankets underneath so that she wouldn't be sitting in a puddle the whole flight. And at this point, I'm starting to think, oh, fuck, this is like cursed. You know, this seat is cursed. This is not good. There's a stinky guy next to me, and this lady just got soaked on the other side of me. And then I plug in my phone charger and the USB port and the 3-prong charger is not fucking working. And I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to do a 13-hour flight without being able to charge my phone. Like, this is crazy. So I text me and I'm like, hey, is your phone charger working? She's like, yeah, mine's working. I said, all right, you know what? Fuck it. How bad could it be? I'm going to come back to you. So I start walking towards the back of the plane. And as I get to like the I get to the end, it's like 36 through 50 is the premium economy or whatever. I'm walking back and I'm like, okay. And then I get to the next curtain and I'm like, ooh, fuck, these seats are like a little bit smaller when I'm in the, you know, the 50s to the 60s. And then all of a sudden I get to the 70s where she's at, and it's like one of those Disney movies where you look one way and the trail through the woods is all bright and airy, and then you look the other way and it's like there's spider webs and lightning flashing and it's dark and scary on the other side of the trail. And that's what the 70s turned into. Like, the seats were fucking right next to each other, so close. And like, when the seat in front of you leaned back, they were basically laying their head in your lap. And that's the seat that I ended up in. And there's just trash on the side of it. It was like, it seemed like an SNL skit. It was crazy. And so anyway, I fucking spent my 13 hours back there with all the peasants, with all the fucking regular people when I could have been in premium economy. But at that point, I didn't want to like crawl back to premium economy with my tail between my legs because I still have pride. So I sat back there with her on the whole flight. And then on the way back, though, it was much better. We had a whole row in economy to ourselves, and we're able to lay down and stretch out, and that was fantastic. So, yeah, it was fun, man. We just had a fun trip. We just chilled at the beach. We went to, like, one really fancy dinner. We played a night of trivia with Lisa's company. Just mad normal shit. Played with the baby, man. Played with the baby. Played with their dogs. You know, got in the water. The water was so warm. And everybody over there was surfing in fucking full-on wetsuits. And I was out there trunking it just, like, having a time of my life. It was warmer than it ever gets in L.A. But for them, it was their winter and it was freezing to them. But it was perfect. Oh, also, we met Thor, Chris Hemsworth. Like, my friend turned out, I thought he's been bullshitting me that he's, like, friends with Chris Hemsworth. But nah, he's, like, actually friends with Chris Hemsworth. And we ended up at this dude's fucking house on a private beach, like, kicking it with his family and shit. And that was weird. So yeah, I don't know. Life's weird, man. A little guy from Alaska is out here just traveling the world and having fun and, you know, getting all grown up, getting all grown up. Yeah, I'm sure I'll have more adventures to tell you guys about next time. But for now, let's get to the episode. This is, a fella who I kind of tell the story during the podcast of like how I heard about him. It's through the homegirl Doris. Like, Doris is putting me up onto everybody nowadays, basically. And I just told her, like, yeah, if you ever, like, have somebody you believe in, let me know because you have amazing taste. And so Doris is Kuko's manager. She's also Hunna's manager. And then when we had Hunna on, she's like, oh, you got to have this other dude on, Omar Apollo. And I looked at Omar Apollo and I was like, oh, man, this is cool. This is cool. But, like, I didn't want to seem like Doris is taking over the show, but low-key, she is, and that's fine. I'm down with it. But also, I was like, this shit is a little polished. Like, this fool is mad handsome, and, like, I was like, maybe he's an industry plant. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on. But also, at the same time, I was getting hella busy with the Skull Candy shit, and I was like, I'll just keep this in mind, but I'm not going to, like, pursue it too hard right now. And then the album came out. The EP came out. It's called Stereo. I downloaded it and I listened to it on a couple plane trips and I was like, holy fuck, I am messing up. I listened to it and I loved it and I was like, shit, these guys are in my email right now. I like need to like get back to these guys immediately. Yeah, because I didn't know when the Skull Candy shit started. I didn't know what the future of the show was going to be. I was like, I'm going to have to put it on hiatus for a while. Like, what's the future of it? I'm not sure. And now I know, like, once everything levels out and I have my time, we still have time to do shows. So, yeah, thankfully, I hit up Dylan, his manager. Coincidentally, his manager's name is Dylan as well. And I was like, hey, I heard the record. I fucking loved it. I'm back in town. I got time. Like, let's get it. So, yeah, we worked it out. And, you know, it's funny. You paint a picture of people when you listen to their music of what they're going to be like. And when I listened to Omar Apollo, I was like, oh, this is going to be like a suave bro who's like, you know, just mad smooth. And, you know, he's going to be like all thoughtful and well-spoken. And you know what? Nope. He's just a normal ass 21-year-old, and I had a really fucking good time with this dude. He's really funny. But beyond that, he's also like been watching the show forever. Like, they were trying to figure out what first episode they watched, or what the first episode they watched was. Like, they were thinking maybe Kyle, one of his homies that was here, was like, oh, I think the first one I saw was Speak, and whatever. So they've been watching since 2013. So for shit to come full circle, it's sick. You know, I'm like really happy that people who are doing well on the come up in the music industry were inspired by acts that they've seen on the come up on this show. That means a lot to me. That means more than, you know, clout could ever mean. That means more than the money could ever mean. Just the fact that we're creating a legacy of influence, man, that shit means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to Ben too. I'm sure it does. Like, you know, it's little shit like that that proves that we're doing the right thing. So anyhow, go check out Omar Apollo's EP called Stereo. It's fantastic. It turns out that the kid's just a natural. He learned the shit from YouTube. All the things that I thought, like, oh, he's going to be a trained musician, and he's going to be, like, very, you know, well-educated in musical theory and all this shit, is all, no, he, like, learned on YouTube. So, like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing right now, but, like, you guys got YouTube as well. You could learn to do shit if you want to. Go fucking learn to be a geophysicist or something. I don't know. I don't even know if that's a thing. But yeah, without further ado, here is my conversation with the naturally talented Omar Apollo.
You have a really, like, nice speaking voice.
Oh, thanks.
It's a nice tone. I'm working on my tone.
Yeah. You have a very beautiful singing voice.
I know, yeah. I know
which
the singing
I don't
voice.
Have.
I could talk in my singing voice and it's funny.
Talk in your singing voice over here.
Okay. Hey, what's up, you know?
How's... Wait, so what is that? Are you an alto? Or
No, yeah, because like... I do it with my friends and it's so funny because I'll just like start cussing, but... No, it's like mixed voice, so it's a mix of your falsetto or head voice or whatever, and chest voice.
Yeah. Nice.
That had like Michael Jackson.
It did. I was just going to say, it had a little
Michael. Yeah, because like whatever you want, you know.
Had a little Michael Jackson. Omar, are you from L.A.?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm from Indiana. I'm a Hoosier.
You're a Hoosier? That's why you got a Notre Dame shirt on, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
No shit. I would not have guessed Indiana.
What's that movie with that?
Rudy?
Rudy, yeah.
Yeah, shout out Rudy.
Shout out Rudes. He died in fucking the Stranger Things. Can I not cuss? Or?
No. Oh, yeah. Don't cuss. No, yes. You can cuss.
Okay.
He died in that fucking Stranger Things show, didn't he?
They did him dirty, bro. He was a good guy.
He was kind of a fucking dork on that
show.
Yeah,
no, I get that. But he was Rudy. Indiana.
Yeah. Season 2 of Stranger Things was a giant step down from season 1.
Really?
IMO.
I
think it was pretty whack, but whatever. Shout out Rudy. how do you end up in Indiana? That's where you're born?
Yeah, I was born in Merrillville, Indiana.
Where's
but
that
I'm
at?
From Hobart. Merrillville is like up north Indiana, right by Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like a 45-minute drive from like downtown.
Downtown Chicago?
Yeah.
So that's the major city that you're close to, not Indianapolis? That's the only
one? Yeah, no, I'm not from Indianapolis. I have friends there.
Yeah. Is that near Evansville?
I'm not the guy to ask that question. Yeah, I think,
okay.
Yes.
So is Chicago the city that you would go, like, experience cultural things when you were a kid?
Yeah, we were always in that bitch. My mom and dad would take us all the time, like, to go see the Bean and ice skating. Well, actually, they wouldn't take us all the time. I don't know why I said that. But
I don't know. Your parents, you guys just love the Bean that much.
No,
let's go every week.
We would just end up going for something. Like, I don't know. My sister, like, eating over there. And go eat and shit, yeah.
So the town that you're from, small town?
Yeah, like super small. Yeah, everyone knows everybody.
How super small?
Like 4 blocks, I'm just joking. dude, it's probably like 4 miles, 5 miles. Like
I meant more like population-wise, but, you know, size-wise is cool, too.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
Population, I had no clue.
How many kids did you go to high school with? What was your graduating class?
Dude, my graduating class was small. Everyone, like... either, like, drops out or, like, they don't graduate with our class. So, like, usually the senior classes at our school were, like, really, like, small compared to, like, other classes because everyone just kind of, like, leaves. Like, the pep rally, our pep rally was so fucking weak. We had, like, 30 kids.
Really?
Because everyone's, like, in this thing. I forgot what it was called. It was called, like if you're, like a bad kid, you get in, like, this program called, Challenge or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you go in at different
MTV's
times. MTV's
the Challenge? Vendetta?
It's just called Challenge.
Okay.
I think that's what the cool kids call it.
Yeah.
But no, I was like, I wasn't a bad kid in high school. It was big, though. No, it was big. And, like, the school looks like a college.
Really?
It's, like, big because they had, like, a lot of money for some reason.
Yeah.
And they built a new one. So in 2009 is when they built it. I was in seventh grade.
No shit.
So when I was in seventh grade, they moved the old middle school to the old high school. No, they moved the middle school to the old high school.
Yeah.
And then they moved that high school. So, like, we went to, like, where the high schoolers went for part of middle school. Sixth grade, I was in, like, an old building. Now it's, like, a police station or some shit.
Well, now we know
haunted.
All about your town, bro.
I'm surprised I got that out. I wasn't sure if
that
I
was
lit.
That. You're funny. You do black out when you're doing these interviews, don't you?
Yeah.
You got generations in Indiana or what?
No. I have... Are you talking about, like, family?
Yeah, family.
Yeah, I have... Okay, so... My parents crossed over. Well, my dad crossed over when he was like 23.
Yeah,
he's been here longer than he's been in Mexico now, but he was like 23, didn't know English, then.
How did he choose Indiana, or did he just?
He was just in that bitch. I don't know why he just like chose that shit.
Really?
Yeah, he just went like straight there. Like he just like I think he got like a job or something. I don't know.
He's like, yo, I fuck with Larry Bird.
Yeah, he just told me some crazy. He just told me some crazy shit too. He was like. he's like that. He would like run away from the cops.
Yeah.
And then one of the cops like hit him on his motorcycle.
No.
And then they just like the cop felt really bad and just took him to the hospital and didn't like arrest him or nothing. But he didn't have a license.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was like 23. Yeah, it's like when we first got here. But anyways, yeah, my mom and my dad's sister were friends in Mexico.
Uh huh.
So then.
What part of Mexico?
So Guadalajara.
Oh yeah.
And my tía, which is my dad's sister,
yeah,
was like, I have a brother in the Estados Unidos, which is United States.
Yeah.
And
we speak, you know, poquito español.
And then, yeah, then they would send each other letters and pictures of each other, like, just, like, out, like little, like, film shots.
Yeah, so they were, like, pen pals before?
Yeah, like, pen pals, yeah.
Yo, that is mad cute. That's, yeah, like, that old cute. School MySpace.
And then my mom already had my sister in Mexico.
Yeah.
So, they, like, my dad adopted my sister, but yeah. They got, like, a coyote mm-hmm. and then crossed over. And like, my mom was, oh, wait, hold on, I probably should have.
Nah,
talk about, like, border shit.
Nah, fuck it, because I want to talk about border shit, and your family's not going to get in trouble.
Like, you think so? Like, they're good?
I don't know. I mean, do they have green cards at this point?
They're legal now, yeah.
They are legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're good, dog. They're not going to, like, retroactively take away the legality. So I think right now this is a poignant story to tell with everything that's going on. It's your choice, obviously, if you want to tell it or not, but no one from ICE is listening to this fucking show.
Okay, I'm gonna skim through it. I'm gonna skip the super details.
I mean, I would love to hear what an immigrant family has to go through to get to the States, because I'm sure that it's fucking torturous, particularly just hiring a coyote. I've heard that, like, that is a crazy dangerous thing in general. So
Yeah. So my dad crossed over when he was 23.
Right. By himself or with?
Yeah, I think he was with somebody, but they just went through the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
Back then it wasn't like, he said you could walk in it, and then he said it was just kind of like ducking and dodging. Like,
you want to hear something crazy? I was just listening to this podcast. You're a young dude, but I always talk about Malcolm Gladwell on this show. You ever heard of Malcolm Gladwell? He wrote this book called The Outliers. He's this really great sociology author. Anyhow, he did a podcast this morning about this whole idea of border walls, right? Mm-hmm. And in the 70s, this dude, he was a General Kaplan, I think, or Chaplain or something like that. Mm-hmm. That was a big general in the Vietnam War, right? And part of the Vietnam War was, like, trying to stop this communist part of Vietnam from coming into, I think, South Vietnam, where it was more of, like, a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to secure the border, right? And he failed at that job. And so his next job after he got out of the military was in the INS and, like, protecting the borders. Mm-hmm. And so he became obsessed with, like, trying to create this organized and secure border. And before that, right, on this podcast, he's talking about Mexican dudes used to just basically come into the States for the summer, do farming for a while, go back to their families in Christmas, and it was, like, no big fucking deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you could just cross back and forth and nobody gave a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden in the 70s, this general comes along and, like, gets the hair in everybody's ass. They're like, oh, immigration is bad, where it used to be, like, Mexican immigration was circular, right? People will come in, work, and then go home.
Yeah.
And then it's
my dad would tell me about that.
Right. And so then once, like, in the 70s, when that they closed off the Rio Grande and shit, Mexican fools started coming in, and then they weren't able to get home. And so then it's basically like America created its own quote unquote immigration problem. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a problem.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyhow, that adds some context to what you're talking about. Sorry to steal your story. Now go.
See, it's like, I don't know if I should.
So your dad comes over and he makes it safely to Indiana. Does he just go straight to Indiana, or does he kind of work his way
up? Yeah, he went straight there. I think he had, like, he was, like, on the phone. But anyways,
yeah.
he told my mom, he was like, yo, come over, like, I'll get a coyote or whatever.
Yeah.
And then,
she's also from Guadalajara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just sketchy because she had my sister.
Yeah. How old was your sister?
7. So it was just, like, that's super, so super sketchy. And it was, like, fake names. Like, like, they opened up a restaurant under fake names. Like, all that shit.
And but at that time,
while she was doing it, she was like, I shouldn't have put my daughter in this situation.
Because
like,
you're going through, like, desert heat.
I'm going to spare the details, but, like,
there's no water. It's, like, extremely hot.
Yeah,
extremely cold. It's extremely hot during the day, cold at night.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. This is me preaching as a fucking white dude, but it's like, man, people in America, They take for granted the amount of effort that people have to do to come to this state, to come to the country, you know what I'm saying? It's like people risk their lives for safety and for a better opportunity, and we look at them like they're fucking criminals for that, and I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I've been getting really close to my dad lately.
Yeah.
And he's like... a lot of times I feel like I'm him.
Yeah.
Like, he even told me, like, we have the same shoes, like... Like, he says, you were, like, the same. It's just we had a different circumstance.
Yeah.
So, like, everything he did was, like I'm here right now because of that, you know?
Yeah.
And he would work 16-hour days, like you know, and my mom would do the same thing. And it was just, like, real fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, that they had to, like, literally, like, because in Mexico, risk the situation, everything. Like, there's a lot of, like... Not, like, trying to shed, like, a bad light or anything, but there's, like, a lot of gang shit, especially around, like, where my family was.
Right.
And we've had scares, you know, like, you get calls, like, we have this person.
About,
like,
family back home.
Like we have this person, like, we need $25,000, like, shit like that, like, what happened. And it's just, like, they just needed to get out of there.
Yeah, of course.
And so, like, they left and then came up here. I don't know, and then, like, it was just, like, for all of us, like, it was... Like, I have brothers and shit, and, like, I didn't go to school, but they know now, like, especially my dad, he's, like, I'm, like, super, super, like, forever thankful that he did come up here.
Yeah, man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How many brothers, mom comes up here with your sister, and then how long until you're born, and, like, what number order are you in the brothers?
Yeah, I'm the youngest, I'm the baby.
Oh,
I'm
you
the
are?
Baby, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the age difference?
My sister's like 30, she's about to turn 33.
Yeah.
She might be 34. My older brother, I think he's 24. And my other brother just turned 23.
Oh, so you guys were like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I'm 21, yeah.
Yeah, you guys came out all right in a row.
Yeah.
And how's your relationship with your brothers? What's it like growing up with a bunch of like rowdy fucking kids?
They're sick, yeah. Like I kind of like... You know, like, older siblings make hella mistakes, like, so many mistakes.
And then you get to learn
from them. So I just, like, skip levels. That's why I feel like I'm, like, doing good right now.
It's like finding the magic flute in Mario World.
It's like,
oh, shit. That's too old of a reference for you.
No, I used to play that shit.
All right, cool.
But, I honestly, I'm thankful that, like, I was the youngest, because then I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Let me not do that.
Yeah.
Let me be more sneaky about this.
What were your brothers into? Same stuff or no?
They were my older brother. They were really into the gaming, Pokemon shit.
Sick.
Like, yeah. And then my other brother, we always kind of like we made like little videos like in the house.
Like why? Like, because of Jackass and shit or what?
No, just like funny shit.
Yeah.
Like we'd make funny videos or like and he would like record them and shit.
That's nice.
And like edit them. And then he got into, like, now he's, like, in graphic design. He's, like, amazing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So you guys have a creative streak running through the whole family.
Yeah. My older brother, he even played, he played guitar and piano, too.
Really?
Yeah, but he, like, didn't.
Did your folks put you guys into lessons?
No.
No?
No.
Was your dad a musical guy?
He can sing.
Yeah.
He can sing. He could draw. That's where I get it from.
Yeah, so he's...
My mom, like, oh, my gosh. She sings with so much passion, but she's... You don't know what's going on.
Little flat dog.
It's so funny. My dad will tell me. She's like, she loves it, but she can't.
Hey, don't let your mom listen to this shit.
My dad used to tell me. No, my dad's like so honest. He was like, I'd be singing in the house. I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
He'd be like, shut up. You sound terrible. He said in Spanish.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, all right, like, let me YouTube how to sing then.
Let me YouTube how to sing. Is that how you learned how to sing?
Yeah, I learned from YouTube.
No way.
Yeah.
That's such an amazing generational thing. I feel the generation
Dude, I don't
after.
Know how to play guitar, produce, like,
everyone's going to learn everything from YouTube.
Yeah, fuck school.
Yeah, fuck college for real.
Yeah, YouTube's like college.
Yeah, you could get your master's degree, like, on your own off
YouTube. Bro, you can learn how to wire a car.
Did you learn that? Did you learn that?
No, but we was in that. Like, we were breaking in cars and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're like a bad kid. You don't strike me as a bad kid.
No, no,
you're
no,
so polite.
No, no, no. I mean, like, when I was, like, younger, I would only steal if I was, like, hungry. Like, I'd, like, go into the gas station and, like, just... But I was hungry. Like, it's a little kid. Like, hungry.
Like, so hungry because you just hadn't been home in a while or hungry because, like, you guys were hungry at home? What are you saying?
Yeah, we were hungry. There's like no food.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad for a while. They had like 11 people living at our house.
No way.
Yeah, and they were all cousins.
Oh, all the cousins.
They all like, they came from Mexico and they lived with us for like 3 months.
No shit.
Yeah.
When? How old were you?
I was like 11.
And so,
we didn't think of it. It was
right. It was the normal for you.
Yeah,
but
it was like whatever.
Were you from a predominantly white town?
Yeah, especially my school.
Really?
Yeah.
And was there, like, did you catch side eyes? Did you, like, catch on about, like, oh, I'm different, or, like, we're the only brown family? Like, was there racism?
Yeah,
that was
apparent?
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. Fucking, especially in elementary school.
Yeah.
I don't even, because, like, as a parent, like, you don't tell your kids the racial slurs.
Right.
Especially, like, they probably didn't know them. Because, like, you know, they're around, like Mexicans.
Yeah.
But, like, fucking kids would call me, like, spick and shit.
No
way. Like, brown shit, like, burnt shit, like, all that.
Oh, my
God. And then, like, I was just, like, I was, like, oblivious. I was just, like, what the fuck? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was all, like, white kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, like, middle school, more schools combined,
mm-hmm.
like, from, like, you know, like, the districts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there was more Mexicans and I was, like, you know, felt better. But then it was, like... I was like, yo, what the fuck did he just call you? I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, bro, don't ever let somebody call you that shit.
Oh, shit.
And then, so they're like, yeah, then from then on, it was like.
Were you guys scrapping over that
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, when white people think they get too comfortable, like.
Hell yeah.
They're like, they'll say some shit. Like, I had to tell, like, one of, like, my older friends.
Mm-hmm.
He said it because he's, like, one of my best friends. And then I was just like. Yo, like, don't ever in your life, like, say that word ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, they don't, I mean, like, he didn't, like, we were drunk, like, fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine, like,
because
he's, like.
Yeah, there's something about fucking white people where even no, real shit, like, I'm a self-loathing-ass white person. No, but there's something where, like, when you have a fucking person of color as a friend, yeah, a lot of people get too comfortable, and then they start using epithets, like, as a joke, or, like, they think it's loving, you
yeah,
know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah.
like...
Like, endearing. Like,
right, like, endearing.
They don't mean it, like,
yeah, like, oh,
racist.
He's our fucking only whatever friend.
Yeah,
but it's like, no,
like,
you're like, yeah, you sound
just
like
don't
a fucking
say it.
So by the time you got to middle school, there was more, like, a Chicano
yeah.
population in the school?
Yeah, and then high school...
Did you gravitate towards them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. So,
was there a small
so
community?
It.
Yeah,
so check
ahead.
It out. Hobart was like, yeah, mostly white people.
Yeah.
And, but next door, like literally across the street was Lake Station.
Yeah.
And that's all like Mexicans and black kids. Like literally
yeah.
the whole school's Mexicans. I was kind of upset I didn't go there because all my friends are literally from there.
Right.
But like we would all be on the block, like the street, like
yeah.
and skate. And like we would all just like link up and it was like all Mexicans. And then like they're like all my friends to this day. Like
yeah.
they all came to like my little birthday party and yeah.
That's sick.
I had a little 21 birthday party.
Turned
but,
out.
But yeah.
What'd you guys do?
It was like 21, bro. I got fucked up. But I didn't get fucked up as everyone there because I was just trying to... I was at my mom's house.
Yeah.
And she knew we were going to get fucked up, but I was just like, nah, let me not. Like, because I got fucked up the night before because it was... I went at midnight to the bar. And
yeah.
I got fucked up, man.
Bro, you know what's funny is that I always try to, like, avoid painting my own picture of somebody in my head when I listen to their music before I talk to them. But,
wait,
like,
you think I'm totally...
You're, like, so different than I was expecting. Your record's, like, so serious, and you're,
dude,
like...
fuck my music.
You're like, yo, real shit, like, you're, like, so fucking romantic on your songs, and, like...
No,
you're all
I'm
fucking
not. Stop. I'm just joking.
You're
I
all suave and shit,
no.
And I was like, oh, this guy's gonna be, like, all artsy-fartsy, and you come in, and you're just, like, a funny-ass 21-year-old, and so...
Nah, like, I don't know, like... I don't know why my music comes out like that.
I fuck with that. Like, one of my favorite things about interviewing people, not to make this about myself, is just, like, learning that preconceived notions are fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, you can paint your own story about how somebody is, and it's always wrong.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Did you say your family started a restaurant?
Yeah, they fucking opened up the Super Taco.
Oh, shit.
El Super Taco.
Was it bomb or what?
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. My homies, like, my mom.
How's Mexican food in Indiana?
Okay, yeah, it's there's some spots.
Really?
We got spots, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's tons of Mexicans in the street, the
yeah.
next street.
Oh, yeah.
And Hobart's becoming more, like, mixed now.
Yeah.
It's not it, but when I was younger, it was, like, all white kids. But now it's, like, yeah, it's, like, pretty mixed. But
that's funny because I would never be like, oh, here we are in Indiana. Let's go get Mexican food.
Yeah, no, there's tons.
Really?
Tons of, yeah.
That's good.
I got some spots that are pretty cool. But
I have a question for you. When a small town like that does have a wave of immigration, does everybody end up kind of being from the same area of Mexico, or were people from all over the place?
Dude, a lot of times people are from the same area.
Yeah, I've read about that phenomenon.
Yeah, like Jalisco and Chihuahua and Guadalajara is like basically like usually whenever I meet someone, they're from like their parents are from there.
Totally,
you know that shit.
Even on like a microscopic level, white people do that same shit. Man, I got a homie who moved from fucking Connecticut to Santa Barbara, and like now, literally his whole family, like fucking 15 people, have moved from Connecticut to Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people just like to stick with their own.
Yeah,
you
feel me? And that's how, yeah, definitely. My mom's like famous in Lake Station, which is like the street. She's not famous, but like we go into a store and she knows everyone.
She's like big woman on campus.
Yeah,
and shit.
And I'm just like, damn, all right. Like, who is this? I've never met this person,
really?
Mom, like ever.
She's like super outgoing?
Yeah, she loves talking.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
How was she at home?
I get that from her.
Your parents strict?
I mean, I was a baby, so I got away with a lot.
Yeah. Because by the time they got four of them,
they
were
pretty strict. Like, I couldn't sleep over at friends' houses for a while.
How come?
They just, like, were paranoid about it.
Really?
Like, parents and stuff. Like,
yeah.
They didn't like it when they didn't know the parents.
Mm.
Yeah. So, like, I'd have to leave early from, like, the function with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like junior or sophomore year, she was like, I was like, Mom, like,
chill the fuck out.
Like, I can beat up his dad. Like, and then she was like,
"Were you were already like this size." I mean, one of the things that I for people listening is that Omar is a fucking big dude. You're like 6'4". You're trying to claim 6'5".
I'm only giving you 6'4".
But see, here's the thing: is that my dad is 6'7". Right, when I was a kid, he's very tall.
Yeah.
But he was a beanpole. Whereas like you're 6'4", but you're proportionate. You feel me? Like you're a big fella. So I believe that you could probably beat up somebody's dad. That I wouldn't put that past you.
I just feel like, yeah, like, yeah, no, I'll beat up somebody's dad.
Hey, that's gonna be the fucking takeaway from this shit. Omar coming, he could beat up somebody's dad.
Yeah,
I do have a question about.
I got homies who like fought dads like in front of their wives.
Really?
Yeah.
Yo, that's some small town shit.
It's funny as fuck. Dude.
That's some small town.
Like, he literally like. Oh, it's so funny. I wasn't there, but I called him right afterwards, and he was like, because I heard about it.
Yeah.
Like, you just hear about shit so quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he, like, beat the shit out of somebody in front of their wife. It's so funny. And then, like, he didn't get caught.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Funny.
Yeah.
Y'all are wild down in Indiana.
No, yeah, no, definitely, bro. It's, like, a different...
I'm fucking with them Indiana boys on them Indiana nights. You know that Tom Petty song? Last Dance of Mary
Jane? Wait,
he
said that?
Yeah.
I know in the Chief Keef and Kanye song.
Yeah.
He's like, on the road to Indiana. Like, and I was like, because they have to cut through to get to Chicago.
Yeah, right, right. Now, Tom Petty, RIP, he got this song, Last Dance with Mary Jane. It was a fucking huge hit in, like, 94.
I've heard that before.
And he goes, but she grew up tall, then she grew up right with them Indiana boys on the Indiana nights. And
yeah.
It's really, the song's about weed, really.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, yeah, there's definitely, like, a, yeah, it's like, now it's like a, there wasn't a scene, but now there's a scene. Like, people are like, oh, people are friends. Like,
yeah.
Like, it used to be like every man for like himself. And now it's like, oh shit, people can hang out.
Speaking of scene, like, how do you develop a style like yours out in the sticks? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, fucking the internet.
Really? That's just what it is.
Yeah, because like, I mean, okay, so you think of it, everyone blows up in LA.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta be from LA to do something. But it's like, you know how many kids there are that are not from LA that are probably like way better?
I would go to wager that like most kids are not from LA.
Like, the people that I like the most are like, well, not like the most, but like I like a lot more are like kids that are out here and they're like, yeah, I'm from like fucking Kansas or Florida.
I mean,
like,
you know where I'm from, do you?
No.
Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's why I fuck with you, because like, I knew you were from L.A. I was like, there's no way this fool's from L.A.
Yeah, dog, I'm from a small town, too. That's why I always ask people when they're like, oh, I'm from a small town, like, how big was your graduating class? Because mine was only 68.
Yeah, no, mine wasn't. Yeah, no, mine was probably like 100 kids.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I relate. But that's the thing is that L.A. does have a kind of like magnetic field around it for creatives, like people
just end up coming here. Yeah, so like, it's like, yeah, so when people grow up here, they mostly go into music. Or into, like, the
entertainment. Yeah, yeah,
I meant
sure.
to say that.
Yeah,
but,
entertainment.
Like, they usually do that, like, and in Indiana, it's, like, oh, I'm gonna fucking join a union. Be a veterinarian.
Yeah, right.
Not like shitting on veterinarians or nothing, but I'm just saying, like, it's not the same. Like,
but also, fuck veterinarians. No, I'm just kidding. Veterinarians are tight.
But, like, yeah, like, I was gonna be, like, a nurse practitioner in my head. I was like, all right, yeah, I could do this.
Right.
Bro, no, I was fucking dumb in high school. Like, dude. I couldn't keep up, bro. Like, okay, I graduated with like a 2.1, and I like
get
and
out.
I, like,
wow, you're dumb as fuck, bro.
I like cheated, bro. I'm so
you're
bro.
Cheated.
I cheated so much.
You're then, cheating off the wrong people, bro.
And then, no, bro. It's just like, okay, but anyways, like, so like. I, like, couldn't keep up. I for real couldn't keep... I thought I was, like, dumb. Like, I was like, damn. Like,
did
I
you
really
find out you're dyslexic
up.
Or something?
Like, no. Like, it was... Well, I do have trouble with numbers, but, yeah. Like, they kind of, like, fuse together when I'm looking at them. But it's not dyslexia.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I have trouble with it. But, because there's people with way more, like, intense, like, shit.
Yeah, right.
But,
right.
No, like... I, like, literally, like, I can read,
how are you
going
to be able to count all these M's, though?
Dude, like, no, I had to have someone do it for me. No, but...
You said you can read, but you can't read?
Yeah, like, I would, like, read a passage and, like, have no idea what it said. I couldn't pay attention, like, at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, like, what am I good at?
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, you can't teach, a fish to climb a tree.
Right.
I wasn't in, like, my environment. Like, music is, like, that shit's easy as fuck. I'm like, damn, all right. Like,
so it just made sense to you.
Yeah, and then, like, none of that shit did. Like, none of it.
So how old were you when you figured out, like, oh, wait, numbers don't make sense to me, but a guitar does? Or music does, for
music,
example.
I think it was 17.
17. Oh, so this is just a little while ago.
Yeah.
So you learned all this shit that you're able to do in fucking 4 years?
3.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
When I was 17, I was just kind of into it. I was like, damn, I want to make music, but I didn't have, like, any money to buy shit.
Yeah.
And then I worked at McDonald's and, like, saved up for a laptop and shit.
That's so wild because, like I said, again, the picture that I had painted in my head of you was like, oh, this fool is classically trained. He'd been taking lessons. No, not like that. I'm like, he'd been taking lessons since he was like 6. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he learned how to play guitar when he was a little kid and, like, piano and shit. And you're like, oh, no, I just, like, watched some YouTube videos when I was 7. It was last year. I'm like, fuck.
No, bro, like, I have homies who are, like, classically trained.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from them.
Well, because, like I said, talking to other Omar, talking to Kuko, that fool's like, oh, yeah, I've been starting making music when I was, like, 11. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, nah, 3 years, bitch. Flex.
I didn't mean to flex. It was a subtle flex.
That's funny.
3 years.
Damn.
I started producing in 2016, so that's 2 years.
Wow.
Damn,
That's wild.
I didn't mean to flex.
No, that's good, man. I mean, the record doesn't sound like that.
Did you make the record by yourself? I appreciate that. Yeah, I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I
played the drums
sure.
on it, too.
Bruh, really? That's another thing is, like, I'll tell you honestly, like, when you guys first hit me up, when Doris first told me about y'all.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I love her. That's my Theo, bro. That's
yo,
really
Doris,
Theo.
Yo, I always hype Doris up to me. I'm like, yo, everybody that I know in the industry, I'm like, you need to follow this person. She can be very important. She got a great ear, and she's a hard worker, and she's just a dope-ass person. So anyway, shout out Doris. But when they told me about you and I listened, like, kind of skimmed through it real quick, I was like, this shit sound like some industry plant shit. I'm like, this is too good. I was like, this shit is too good. Like,
bro, I write my shit. Come on.
I was like, man, this shit is too good. I'm like, maybe I'll have him on, maybe I won't. And then I was like, then I heard the record because I seen it like when it came online.
Oh, you're talking about like the project?
Yeah, the whole project.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Stereo.
Yeah, Stereo. Mm-hmm. I have it saved in my Spotify and shit. I be listening to it. I make my girl listen to it. I'm like, I was like, this shit's
I believe you.
No, straight up, I was like, I listened to it, and then I went, ooh, fuck, I need to email Dylan back, because I didn't realize this shit was, like, so litty, you know
Thank
what I mean?
You, man. Thank
yeah,
you.
And so that's the story of how you ended up on the show. Is like, I was like, oh, fuck, I hope it's not too late, because I was, like, playing catch-up, basically. Like,
yeah.
I didn't...
I tried to make it seem like I wasn't.
It sounds
industry
big.
You go to like when you go to like my SoundCloud, like the cover arts are just like funny,
bruh. But yeah, that's true. But I don't know, like the sound of the record. I was like, oh, he did this all in like a big studio. Like he got money behind this project. You're saying you just did it by yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then actually, the homie who played drums on all the things.
Yeah.
We recorded a lot of the drums at this one spot. I was staying at in like an attic. I was like living in there, and then like I had like a little drum set up.
Yeah.
And then we did a bunch of there, and then I just, like, he played a bunch, and I chopped everything up, and then, like...
In Indiana.
And then later, I was like, yo, I use this, like, it's all over the project. He's like, okay, cool. And then, like, we made this, we co-produced Stereo, but he did, like, a lot of it.
Yeah, right.
Like, the intro song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he like, pretty much did the whole thing. His name's Eddie Burns. He's the shit.
Shout out Eddie Burns.
Yeah.
All right. Now I want to know about the music influences, because... You know, clearly you were into this shit. You've been watching kind of Neat, like a smart kid, ever since, you know, it came out in 2013. So, yeah. Now, like, who were your guys that you were listening to as a youth?
As a youth?
Yeah.
Bro, that is not a... No, like, my youth was terrible.
No, I know, but that's funny, because I want to hear the progression. Like, here's the thing.
Dude, I was into Omarion, Chris Brown. Like, hey, was it.
Man, hey, do you know, I'm 37 years old. You know, the first band I really fucking liked was New Kids on the Block. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. Like,
tastes can evolve.
You're young, so bro. 36. You're right. Yeah. Young guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Not that young.
Dude,
but...
you're young, bro. 50s, like, when you're like, all right.
50. Then you're old.
50's like, all right, are you getting there? But Brad Pitt's like 50.
So you were
into still kicking.
Omarion and Chris Brown and shit. Did you try to dance when you were a kid?
Oh, my God.
You did.
Dude, I was like popping on Vine.
Did you remember? Or, I mean, did you like memorize fucking choreography?
No. I just more of a freestyler. I did go to like a few like choreography shits. And
yeah.
Choreography, I just sucked at it.
You said I was more of a freestyler.
Yeah.
You're funny.
I was like, and then I was like tutting and stuff.
I wish that we did video just something.
Bro, like, no, yeah, it's pretty intense.
Oh, shit.
I did a lot of like.
And so then, what was the stuff after you were into like pop R&B? Like, who like really opened your world up to like, ooh, I want to do music type shit?
Like, what artist?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
Like, do you got an artist that's the
I was working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I was working at McDonald's. I was like 17.
Why the fuck weren't you working at your family's restaurant? Why
you? I didn't tell you. They when I was born, they sold it.
Oh, okay.
It was too much.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. What was I talking about?
You were talking about you were working at McDonald's.
Okay, yeah.
And you found somebody.
Yeah, yeah. The album Ego Death.
Oh, the internet.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out the internet.
I started listening to that. I was like,
we had them on the show during that press cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was listening to that album and I went to the back of McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then I was just breaking down boxes. Like,
yeah.
It was like 60 boxes.
Yeah.
And I just listened to the album like twice. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Really?
I had never heard anything like it. I was just, cause like, now I'm like, damn, like, I really missed out. Like, no one put me onto this shit. Like,
wow, you had what? I mean, fuck, you had so much.
And then from there, it was like, Neil Young, Bowie, like Prince, just like tons of like fucking like Bob Seger.
You got a favorite Neil Young song?
Yeah, right now I do.
What is it?
I'm actually gonna play it on tour. Harvest Moon.
On this harvest moon, my favorite
it's
is
in Drop D.
My favorite is Helpless.
Okay.
Helpless.
Old man's.
Yeah. You know, my dad has Alzheimer's, and you know, like Alzheimer's patients, there's a period of their disease where they still kind of like liven up when you play them music. And Neil Young was like his guy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was his guy. Neil Young and CCR, that was like his shit. So I would play a mix of those songs, and you know, Harvest Moon would come on a lot, and he'd react to it.
I love that song's insane.
Such a good song.
It speaks to me. I went to like a bar.
Yeah.
And I was just a bunch of homies. We were bar hopping. I was fucked up.
Yeah.
And was just playing. She was playing like a bunch of Neil Young songs.
Yeah.
She played Harvest Moon. She played one other one, and then another one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I was fucked up. I can't really remember. And I was just like, dude, you're snapping. And then I was giving her songs to play, like some Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, she knew some.
Do you fuck with The Band?
Huh?
The Band.
The Band?
Have you heard of The Band?
Mm-mm.
All right, so I'm about to change your life right now.
Okay.
And all of you youngsters out there that listen to this show, if you don't know who The Band is, go check it out. So The Band, that's just what they're called. That's it. They used to back up for Bob Dylan, right? They would be his backup band, and people would always be like, damn, or like, you know, your band is so good. Who is that? Who's the band? Who's the band? And so they broke off, and when they weren't playing for him, made their own music. They have this double album, right? It's called The Last Waltz.
Mm-hmm.
on your Spotify, as soon as or whatever you use, as soon as we're done, download and save The Last Waltz and listen to it. It's a double album, and it's featuring, like, fucking everybody. Neil Young is on there. They play Helpless with him. Muddy Waters is on there. Fucking everybody, bro. And it'll be right up your alley.
If there's one thing
you take away from this, remember that. Yeah. So Ego Death opened the world for you. And that was like...
Yeah, man. That's what turned me into an industry plant.
Fuck you. Did you start, like, learning all the lyrics and trying to sing along with Sid on that?
No.
No.
I was just, like, I was more concerned with, like the beats.
Yeah.
I was, like...
Is that the first thing you started doing, was learning how to make beats?
No, I was, like, YouTube beating it for a minute.
Yeah, of course.
YouTube beating. And then I was just, like, damn, these all suck. I had my homie... who lived down the street, who's my bass player now. He had a little setup. He had FL Studio.
Shout out and FL Studio. Beat-making program.
Yeah, I didn't have a laptop yet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sound card, yeah. That was a problem, too.
You got to have a sound card for FL.
But we would make shit. And, like, we work really well together now, but back then, he was just kind of like, this kid just sucks. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't... Like, none of my ideas would make it through, ever.
Is this Eddie?
No. Oh, this is my homie, yeah. Okay. He plays bass in my band. He's my best friend. Okay. I love him. I'd kill somebody for him.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, man, like I just need to, like, make my own shit.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I would just try to, like, I started with, like, drum loops. I would, like, try to make, like, a drum pattern and just trying to find, like, a groove. And then, like, after that. Like, now I'm getting opened up to, like, the whole world of production, because that's something I really want to, like, get into, like, for other people and shit. And I only use guitar and bass, like, strictly.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like, oh, damn, synths exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking, you could shake something in the mic and you could use that, like, you know.
It's really infinite,
like,
you know.
Yeah, and I'm just like, damn, because, like, working with other people kind of opens your eyes to that, yeah.
What videos were you watching to learn how to sing, though?
Oh, my God. This guy named Eric Arsenault. If you guys want to learn how to sing, Eric Arsenault, he taught me how to sing.
No shit.
On YouTube.
He got a lot of subscribers?
Yeah. He's, like, doing good.
Yeah.
But he was cool because he was, like, genuine. He wasn't, like, oh, and he didn't know how to sing. He was, like, terrible. He would, like, play videos of him. I'm like, dude, this is so bad.
Really?
And then he learned how to sing. In my head, I was like, oh, shit, someone can learn how to sing.
You, like, learned along with him.
Yeah, but actually what kind of kickstarted me learning how to sing was my dad when he told me that shit. And I knew that the only thing that he liked was hearing vibrato.
Yeah.
You know what vibrato is?
Yeah, the...
Yeah, and I didn't have natural vibrato.
Yeah.
And then so I had to, like... learn how to allow it to happen, because I would imitate a lot. That was my thing, like, imitating. So I would, like, tense up on accident, because it looks like singers are tensing up when they're singing loud, but they're not. They're just, like, it looks effortless to them. Yeah. But, and then Eric Arsenault had a video on, like, how to get vibrato and shit.
And that was the first one?
Yeah, you had to, like, do stretches and shit.
You got so now you got the vibrato, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, people think it's natural. I'm like, nah, I had to learn it.
No shit.
Yeah.
Dude, shout out YouTube. It is really amazing.
Changed my life.
Right? It is really amazing.
Like, I wouldn't have had anyone to teach me.
Yeah.
Ever. I was in Indiana, cornfields.
Right.
Farms.
Right. Nothing but Jeepers Creepers out there and shit.
Yeah.
I think that's where that movie takes place. Children of the Corn, maybe. Anyhow, how long was it until shit starts, like, picking up on your SoundCloud, or, like, you start getting these, like, looks?
That was, like... Because this was, like, 2016. I was, like...
Right, this was, like, last week.
I was, like,
week.
Dropping shit, and I was dropping shit, like, whenever, like, I made it.
Yeah.
Like, literally 2 minutes after I made it, I was, like, all right, let me drop this. And then I would probably, like, delete it. But a lot of them stayed. A lot of them were up there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. What was your question?
Like, who starts emailing you? What are the looks that you're getting? Like, who notices
they,
you?
So it started, like, picking up. After I dropped this one song with, like, brackets on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a name. It just has, like, brackets or something. Like, that's what it is. And then, after I dropped that, people were kind of waiting for the next one. Like, I don't know, like, six people. Like, we're, like, waiting.
Were,
like,
six people.
Like, people that I didn't know. Like, obviously, like, your 10, 15 friends. Like, you would bump. But then it was, like, other people. I was like, damn, like, what the fuck?
You're like, okay, damn, I don't know these six, like, all right, people.
They'd be like, yo, I love your music. I'm like, damn, I had no clue who you are, but thank you.
That's tight.
Yeah, and it was
amazing. Did you have, like, a Twitter and an Instagram and all that shit?
Yeah. And then I would, like, I'll just keep dropping. And then, like, after, like, I dropped You Got Me, then, like, that's when, like, it was, like, then my friend was like, yo, you need to get, like, an app, like, Apple Music, like, and Spotify and put it on there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Would you use, like, cool. DistroKid or
Yeah, and he did it. Oh, yeah. And then, like, I didn't have money, so he, like, fronted me, like, the $30 a year for it or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, bro, I got you.
And now he's probably stealing all the money from it.
Nah. He's honestly the shit. That's, like, the homie that I'd never see.
Yeah.
He fronted me the money.
And so then is it the modern fucking music industry romance where, like, once your first thing on Spotify hit 200,000 plays, like, everybody started emailing you?
Bro, okay, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, when I dropped my shit the next day, it was on, like, this playlist.
Oh, somebody found you. Yeah.
And it was you. The song was You Got Me. So, like, you know, it's like, people, like, that's, like, my biggest song right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like.
What playlist did it end up on? Shout it out. Do you remember?
Fresh Finds.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so somebody, like, in the Spotify system found your shit.
Yeah, like, and I was new. Like, I didn't have anyone. And then, literally, I dropped another one the next day. Yeah. Same thing. Dropped another one, same thing. I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
so you had all these.
I didn't even have, like, a distribution. Like, I didn't know nobody.
You had them all in the bank waiting to go?
Yeah, we're just doing it, yeah. And then, I think, maybe. I might have finished it and then released it, like, right away.
Yeah.
And then, but, yeah, that's how that happened. And then, like, I was kind of, like, on Twitter and stuff. I, like, put a video and it got, like, some attention.
What video?
It was like Prom and Brake Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. It would kind of like, it just boosted your audience.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just kind of like, I was just chilling. Because then I just kind of used my socials as like a.
You know, here's the thing, like, though, Omar.
I try to stay off of it.
In the sea of shit that gets released on Spotify, which is like probably hundreds of thousands of songs a day, you know, or like every week. Like, for somebody at the company, like, Fresh Finds, that's, like, a big playlist.
Bro, I got lucky. I'm pretty sure I got lucky.
I'm sure it's a mixture of luck and just at the right opportune moment. But, like, for somebody to recognize, like, oh, this is a good song and put it on there.
Yeah, and it was DistroKid, too. Like, it wasn't, like, AWOL or nothing.
Right.
Released through AWOL.
I mean, that's a big step. And I think people, I think this is a good lesson for if there are any up and coming musicians listening to the show. For one, just put it out. But for two, don't rely on the traditional media, right? Like, people are always hitting me up like, oh, how can I get on the show? I'm like, yo, my show isn't going to break you. What's gonna break you is a fucking Spotify playlist, real talk. Like, the Spotify playlist is going to break you more than a Fader article, more than a whatever now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, that's the route.
That's dope what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, and now, like, Apple Music, like, they fuck with me too, like, hard. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, damn, like, dude, I almost fucking cried. They gave me, like, because I always wanted, like, Beats headphones when I was younger.
Right.
And then, like, my parents, like, never, like, ever, like, had money, like, to get it. And then, like, I never asked for them, but I just always wanted them. Yeah. And then they fucking gave me, like, a Beats pill and Beats headphones, like, and I go there, and I'm just like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what? And I use them all the time now. I'm like, yeah.
I'm like, that's a real status symbol, those Beats headphones.
Dude, it wasn't even that. It was just like, damn, like I never had them, but when I got them, they were for free. Like,
yeah.
And
everything
like,
works better
them,
when
you know?
It's free, right?
Yeah, like, it was.
It feels better.
It was just cool. And then, yeah, that's how. Like, I don't know. It was just weird. I think Spotify really put me on, like, a different level.
Yeah, totally. Like, that's a big break, man.
Yeah.
So when Spotify puts you on the Fresh Finds playlist, is it, like, is that when the email inbox starts flooding?
Yeah, that's when bro-ass Dylan, he hit me up.
How did you meet Dylan? Dylan,
he hit
for
me
you
on
guys
Twitter.
Out there, is his manager.
Yeah, there was so I put out a tweet because I hate reading.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go through emails.
Right.
And then I was like, yeah, I need a manager. And like three or four people like hit me up.
Yeah.
And then I like took a meeting with one guy. And then Dylan like called me.
Yeah.
Because the other guy was close. The other ones were like other places. But yeah, Dylan called me. He was chill. He was like my age. He's like, I'm like 20 days older than him.
Yeah, he looks mad young too. Dylan, you young bastard.
Yeah.
All you young motherfuckers taking over the industry is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I fucked with that he was young.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't like flex anything.
Right.
Like, he knew that he could, like, take care of me, and he didn't, like, flex. He didn't use that as, like, a flex. So
he's,
I was just like,
just
damn,
like,
that's
I'm
tight.
A hard worker.
He's just like, he's like, honestly, just, like, trust me. I was like, whatever, cool.
Whatever.
I was like, all right, dude.
How far away did he live?
He's based in LA, but he was in New York.
Yeah,
he goes to NYU.
So are you still in Indiana full time then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you
coming out here.
I'm gonna ask the indiscretion, what are your future plans?
Dude, they always ask that shit. Fuck, I'm like, I don't know, fucking I'm going to Wingstop.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a kickback at my homie's house tonight.
Yeah, there's like fucking kickback, yeah. Though. Fucking bust biz.
Come through, bro. Fucking butt chug. Do you plan on staying in Indiana and keeping the Indiana fucking repping up in this bitch?
No.
Yeah.
But no, I do. No, I'm definitely repping. And like kids, like I kind of like still see every, like I don't see everything that happened. Like people send me messages because it's stressing me out. But like I do see like kids from my hometown or like in the area like that I grew up in that I know like well, and I check all of them out and I try to like, you know, be like yo,
big brother those fools.
Yeah, I mean, like, not that, but just be like, kind of be like, yo, like keep going cool.
You just tap them on the chin and say, hey, keep it up, champ.
Keep it up, champ. No, because they need that. Like,
yeah, hey, no, that's a good, I'm saying that's that big brother and shit. That's a good thing to do to people, man. You got a kind heart.
Thanks, bub.
Yeah. You won't listen to everything for long. You'll eventually get too busy, and then people will go like, you changed, bro. You changed.
Nah, I'd be in Indiana, though. Yeah. Like, I'd be, like, places, like, people would come up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they'll take pictures. I'm like, bro, chill. Like, you can say hi to me. You don't have to fucking get your phone out. Dumbass.
Man.
Nah, it was cool.
Like, I only been to Indiana once. It was colder than a bitch.
Yeah, it gets cold, and
oh,
it gets hot.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about the record real briefly.
Oh.
Just came out.
Yeah,
like
Stereo,
what, 2 weeks
EP
ago?
Just came out. Yeah.
Stereo EP, two
my
weeks
debut
ago.
EP. Low key, it's not my debut because I released something a long time ago.
But it probably got erased from the internet.
Yeah, it's not on the internet.
Yeah, right.
It's so
the
trash.
Response has been probably pretty crazy, I would imagine. You just said you did the Beats One interview.
Yeah.
You done. I mean, I saw Pitchfork reviewed it, which is like a pretty big deal for a first time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
first
cool.
EP. Yeah, yeah. How has the response been for you? Like, how has life changed in the last couple of weeks? Just busier?
No, I ain't been doing shit. I mean, besides rehearsal, because
because you're going on tour.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, dude, I make beats all day. Like, I watch Naruto and then make beats and then go eat food.
Yo, that's so funny. You do sound like other Omar. He, bro, I just like be at the crib making beats, bro.
I just be at the crib. No, like, cause. I usually like wake up, and then I like go get a coffee, maybe FaceTime a homie, Well, I take a shower before I do all this. But then I, like, you know, probably brush my teeth, throw on the newest Jimmy Fallon that I missed. And then
Jimmy
I, like,
Fallon.
Watch. Yeah, The Tonight Show.
Oh, man.
On Hulu.
Yeah, okay.
And then I'll just, like, I'll listen to some shit or... And I'll, like, make... Oh, damn, I sound boring. No, this isn't my,
this
like,
is very,
normal
this is
routine.
Very similar to my routine, except instead of Jimmy Fallon, it's Deezus and Miro.
Yeah. No, it switches. I, like, I'm sorry watching, like, Big Mouth.
Oh, yeah, I watched Big Mouth. It was all right.
It's really funny, I think it's really funny.
You know, it's childish humor. You childish.
But anyways.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I seriously, like, especially now. Like,
so
after,
life is
after the
same.
EP,
that's the summary.
No.
Oh.
It's definitely different. Like, I don't have a job. Like, I'm like, damn.
That's tight. You don't have to work at McDonald's no more.
Yeah, and then, like, I can, like, buy shit.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like, dude.
But
like,
but you'll see, the more popular you get, the less you'll have to buy shit because people just give shit to
you.
Oh,
yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. Like, these are given to me.
Those sparkly shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I thought you might have stole those off of fucking Dorothy in Oz or something.
No.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz reference. That's okay.
I've only seen The Wiz. Sorry.
Hey, that's funky. Well, shit, man. I feel like this is probably at least an hour and it's hot as fuck. And... I could do this again with you. If you guys don't blow up too much, man, you should come back in a couple years after the media training and we'll have another one. This is very funny. You're a good kid. Oh, I do have one more question. How did you meet, like, Kuko and all them? Like, how did you start to come around the, like, Chicano scene that's forming in kind of, like, the pop and soul alt scene?
Low-key, bro, be like, he just be on it. Doris knows everyone that comes up. This is how I think. I think, like, okay, yeah, I remember now. Doris put a video on Twitter of them playing my song on, like, their tour bus.
Yeah.
And then, oh, and then I had one friend.
And Kuko was like, bro, like, bro, this is, like, lit, bro.
Then they liked the music. Yeah, yeah. I think it was just kind of, like, from there. And then, like, yeah, I mean, like, anybody who's Mexican, like, I like, already fuck with you.
Fucking viva, like, la raza.
Like, yeah, 100%. Like, if you're Mexican, I'm like, what's up? How are you doing? And you're making music? Like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, dude, we all had the same childhood.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, first-generation immigrants, you guys have a lot of themes in the life. Mm-hmm. I meant to, like, while we were talking about all the immigration stuff, be like, oh, what do you think about all this shit going on with ICE? Because it's so miserable. But it's like, man.
It's fucked up, bro.
It is stressing me the fuck out, the news stories right now. I really feel like the Holocaust is starting, and, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I want to fucking do something, you feel me?
Like, I have to pull up.
I'm seeing these images of, like, these kids in these fucking, like, prisons, basically. And I'm like, yo. But it's like four states away. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what can I do? But I don't want to be. I don't want to be one of these people that's like, oh yeah, you know, a lot of people that ended up being Nazis were good people. They just didn't realize what was going on. And I'm like, no, I want to fuck. I want to fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
Yeah, good heart, man.
Man, I don't know.
Appreciate you.
That's just that was just my, like.
No, yeah, dude. No, you went in it. You went in it, man.
I want my listeners to feel the same way. Like, yo, we need to fucking do some shit, bro. Yeah. We need to do some shit. So, anyway. All right. Omar, this is fantastic.
Thanks, fool. I fuck with your fit.
Oh, thanks, dude. You know what? I got these for free, bro.
Like, really?
Yeah, the more that you the more you work, the more free shit you get.
He got that.
The Carhartts. I'm out here. I fucking rep the Carhartt shit. That's that Alaska in me. Okay, so tell people where to find you online.
Oh, yeah. Just type in Omar Apollo anywhere. Apollo comes from my middle name.
Yeah.
Apollonio.
Apollonio. Omar Apollonio. That's a beautiful name, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Omar Apollo. Yeah. And then you can, on like Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and Spotify.
All that.
Yeah, it's just
Omar. Yeah, go to Spotify, download Stereo EP. It is wonderful. It's funky. I wouldn't expect this kind of funk and soul coming from a fucking knucklehead like you, but I fucks with it. All right, guys. As you know, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shin, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, youtube.com/kindaneat, where you are going to see my man Omar perform. What are you going to perform?
Oh, Unbothered.
Unbothered. Yeah. Instagram.com/kindaneat, or I mean at Kinda Neat. This is my dude, Omar. My name is Lee. You guys are tuned into Kinda Neat. Thank you.